The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Open line through to 1, so call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp, same number. Just stick an 07624 in the front. Get us in your contacts. Or you can email studio@manxradio.com. Much to talk about today, but just first, I just want to put this in front of you. It isn't common on the Isle of Man, so two cars have been stolen in the past 3 days. Two vehicles. Do you remember there was that Range Rover Evoque stolen in Douglas? It was seen in the early hours of Wednesday morning in Strang, JMN201F, Juliet Mike November 201 Foxtrot. But also a black Vauxhall Zafira has been taken without the owner's consent from the Douglas area. LMN743D. Lima Mike November 743 Delta. It was last seen on Wednesday. Now, we don't often get this. Sometimes you'll get taken without owner's consent and somebody will steal somebody else's hot hatch and dump it later on. But these are two vehicles that have been stolen. Now, let's hope it isn't a pattern. Let's hope there's not some sort of gang that's doing this sort of thing, or they're stripping them for parts, whatever it is. But please keep them peeled. And Evoque, a Range Rover Evoque, JMN201F, and a black Vauxhall Zafira LMN743D. Now, if you see any of these vehicles, if it's an emergency, call 999. Otherwise, call police headquarters 631212. We'd all appreciate that, and let's hope it isn't the start of anything. I'm in the UK at the moment, says Sue. As a lone female traveller, I've now been told my nanan won't be sailing from Liverpool till 9 o'clock on Sunday. It's going to take 3.5 hours to cross to Douglas, so at 12:30, I'm going to be dumped at the sea terminal with no way of getting to Port Erin apart from a taxi. £50 at that time of night. So I'm going to be putting in a claim to the steam packet. Probably won't get it, but I think it's unacceptable, says Sue. Also got a message in regarding the steam packet. It's regarding Heysham Ports. So there's a report from the consumer magazine Which that says that, if you haven't bought a paper yet today, I suggest you do. Let's support our newspapers while we've still got them. But in The Independent, the Isle of Man steam packet has been named the worst domestic ferry service by the consumer magazine Which. They claim that long-suffering islanders, you and me, have complained of poor facilities, too many cancellations and skyrocketing services. The steam packet company has been named the worst domestic ferry service of 2024 by Which magazine, been placed at the bottom of the list of the best and worst domestic ferry services. So pop to their website, islemantoday.co.im, iomtoday.co.im, or support your local newspaper by buying it today and taking a look at that. Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi, it's a while since I've been on, so I've been listening, though. I've been listening to all this various things that's been coming on, I just wrote a little list here, and then I'll just read it off, and then you can, if you want to question me on any of them, fair enough.
Go ahead.
First one, drop prices on the steam packet, get rid of Ledgeco, no windmills on the island, try thermal energy. Don't build on floodplains, pull dewey. Drop the level of gravel on beaches near promenades. Forget our contribution, Green Party, to global warming. Our contributions is like spitting in the sea. No fluoridation of drinking water. Go for gas extraction. Do not increase the population. Use all your brownfield sites to build on. Not good agricultural land. And in the end, bring in assisted dying. So if there's any particular one you want to ask me on.
That's what I like, a man with an opinion. Let's go for Kroger gas. Let's go for that gas extraction. You think we should go for that?
Of course we should. Of course, if it's going to help the Isle of Man, if it's going to get us some cheaper gas or actually an access to some gas, go for it. No problem.
Okay. Now, one that you're an expert on, and that is Paul Dewey and building on floodplains. They say that
exactly.
they can mitigate that they can prevent it flooding, Wilf.
Yes, but I asked them for ages and ages ago to meet their flood expert, and it's never happened, and then it got stuck in the paper, and it was very nearly passed. I can't think of the name now, but anyway, it was very near passed, very near got through. And you see, they've already built on places now that I've seen flooded, and it will happen again. There's no doubt about it, it will happen. You get the right combination, and it will happen again. And I mean, I've led horses off a field they've actually built on now. And on the high side, I've led horses up to their bellies in water. And if you took a level looking from where I'm talking about, the lowest part, it's up to their bedroom windows. So it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. We're in trouble.
I've got one for you, Wilf.
Yep.
The bathing. Is the bathing raft on South Beach yet?
No, but it was going to get repaired. And then at the last meeting, we decided, no, we're going to buy a new rubber one. And it was going to be a week or 2 weeks before it would arrive. So we'll expect that arriving.
Well, 3 weeks today, it's going to be half term, race week's half term.
That's right, yes, but me telling you and getting it from high up in the commissioner's offices, that's a different thing, you know what I mean?
All right. Love that list, Wilf. Have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you very much.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for that. David H. said, I heard the forecast. We got some showers on Monday. Will it douse any fires starting by those who have barbecues? Don't tempt fate. And if you're taking a disposable barbecue anywhere this weekend outside your own property, then please, please do something to put it out at the end. Please don't leave a port. In fact, take it home with you. Get it home. We wish you well with a barbecue this weekend. How come the steam packet has achieved the worst ferry company accolade from which reviews, but it got an excellence award from the Isle of Man government? I'm puzzled, says Southern Andy. As a small island, we need to be more careful of people we encourage to the Isle of Man. We can't afford an increase in population or crime. Well, don't know that they necessarily go together, but point taken, Marie. No checks of people coming in. We are losing our identity and it's not acceptable, says Marie. Well, let's just hope those two vehicles are found and something. It's not the start of, I don't want to tempt fate again, but two vehicles to be stolen in 1 week and not found is 068. I agree with Wilf, and if he wants to stand for government, I agree with everything he says Liz D. Well, there we are. That would be something, wouldn't it? Steam packet company owners, the Isle of Man government, voted worst by the Witch magazine. Shock horror, we couldn't run a bath. Who are these 15,000 people that are coming, says Roy B? What are their medical criminal records? Should the population be aware So we'll find out, says Alf Cannon's got muck on his hands, says Roy B. Well, thank you, Roy B. I think, says Mark, immigration and crime definitely go hand in hand. You might want to look at the recent studies from Denmark, says Mark. Denmark's got open borders, though, hasn't it? You know, you can't just turn up here and start work without the proper bona fides. So anyway, it's a thought, and the Chief Minister's stated plan is that we will get another 15,000, and we'll get to the magic 100,000 population. Here's Julian. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, it's funny you talk about the 15,000. Has that started already, would you say?
Well, we don't know. There hasn't been a census for a while.
Yeah, because, you know, I walked through the street a few times recently and I'm not recognising people that come in the other way. It was because normally you'd see, you know, because I've been here forever. But an awful lot of unfamiliar faces coming in around, especially on the prom and along Strand Street. But there you go.
Well, maybe they're tourists. You don't know.
Possibly, yeah, yeah. We'll have to see if we see them again on, say, I don't know, in a couple of months' time, we'll know. I listened with interest to your guest yesterday on the Man in Line regarding mental health.
What did you think, Julian?
Yeah, very positive. I mean, Ali from I'll Stand Up to Suicide said that people are desperate for someone to notice them and ask them if they're okay and give them hope. There was also mention of a social stigma against people who are suffering serious mental health issues. So this made me notice something, three actually things. You'll remember we spoke the other day about Yolanda Fun, the 34-year-old in the Netherlands with depression and autism.
Yeah.
She was euthanized 2 weeks ago on her 34th birthday. She was told by her psychiatrist that there was nothing they could do for her and no hope of recovery. So she went and enrolled in assisted suicide. And then this month, Zareya Tabik, a 28-year-old with autism, will be euthanized this month. And again, her psychiatrist told her there's nothing they can do for her. And 2 days ago on your show, Frank called in and you asked him what was the advice of his doctor. And what did Frank reply? And I'll quote this exactly. They can't do anything. That's it. There's nothing they can do. So for me, this puts a few questions in mind, really. First one is this an abject failure of the health service? Second, why are psychiatrists and doctors telling their patients there's no hope, which seems to be the opposite to what your expert guest said yesterday on day before yesterday on your show? And thirdly, if we take Alex Allenson at his word that the assisted dying legislation will be effectively cast in iron forever and will only accept people with a terminal illness foreseeable within 6 months, Frank won't be eligible for assisted suicide, even though he's advocating for it, because he said he's going to live the rest of his life in pain. But he's not saying that he's got 6 months to live, so he won't be eligible for it.
Well, yesterday's programme, I mean, we chatted a bit more afterwards when we came off the air, but there's a lot, and I said yesterday, that's the start of the conversation, because there was so much we could have talked about yesterday, and as you say, the fact that there is a suicide, anti-suicide policy on the Isle of Man, there's some documentation and a proposal on that, but also the fact that, as you say, we have an assisted dying private members bill going through, and it, you know, is there any correlation between the two? Is it Chinese walls? But also the fact that, as you say, hope springs eternal, and that's the one thing we all have, an identity, we all have a reason to live. And I mean, yesterday's program I found very moving at times, to be quite honest, and very interesting, because we've come a long way on mental health.
You know, and it was very moving listening to some of the people talking that have actually gone through it and are still going through it. And even despite that, you know, bravely, they're actually, they know because they're there, so they can tell. But, you know, I mean, Frank is my point in case. If Frank is going to be enrolled in this, then the safeguards are already going to slip then, aren't they? Because if we're promised faithfully that this is only going to be for the terminally ill, then if he's saying he wants it, then what? I don't know quite what he's expecting from it. And perhaps best for him to call in again and do what he says. But I also get the feeling that the NHS is somewhat failing him. There's plenty of things that could be done, I think, personally. And you have to remember, we're kind of following the NHS on the island. But if you actually look at the NHS regulatory system, it's highly fragmented. You look at it, there are over 126 organisations that exert some regulatory influence over the NHS providers. There's 211 bureaucratic clinical commissioning groups. So when you've got this kind of labyrinthine regulatory edifice in front of you, you sometimes wonder if people are falling through the cracks. We've heard quite a few people talk about motor neuron disease, but at the very same time, we don't hear much today about vitamin D. And I noticed that there was a recent review in the from the Department of Neuroscience in Siena in Italy, and they were saying that people with just a minimal amount extra vitamin D have a 43% less chance of getting motor neuron disease. You've also got a medical center in Boston saying that diabetes 2 has almost dropped by half with people with just a couple of thousand IUs of vitamin D, but they say more research needs to be done. Well, I think it needs quite a bit more than 2,000 IUs of vitamin D. But, you know, I'm just looking at peer-reviewed research, so it makes you wonder. Okay. I think Frank can look at other things. I think if you're told by the doctor, they're held by the NHS regulatory system and also the MIMS catalogue. So if that's what they're held by, I think sometimes we're going to have to say, well, you know, we're going to have to look elsewhere. If there's no hope for him, what's Frank got to lose by looking elsewhere?
Okay. All right. We appreciate it, Julian. Have a good weekend.
You too, Andy. Thanks. Bye.
All right. 23 minutes past 12. Man in line on Manx Radio. I don't know whether you've seen the Paul Cassidy crash. Wow. Take a look at manxradio.com if you haven't seen it. It's all over social media as well. Paul Cassidy from the Isle of Man crashed at the Northwest 200 yesterday, and he said he's okay. The video is absolutely bone-chilling. He hit a safety barrier, collided with another rider leading into a turn, hit the safety barrier, went 25 feet in the air, and landed on a car in somebody's drive. He's fine. To quote Paul Cassidy's words, "I'm just bloody sore." You bet. You should see the car. Paul Cassidy. Wow. It'd be interesting to hear. Of course, two of our Manx Radio broadcasters are commentating on the Northwest 200 and doing media work. Our own Chris Kinley and Dave Moore are at the Northwest 200 this week. But wow, take a look at manxradio.com and look at our news page and Paul Cassidy's crash. Simon's on now. Hi, Simon.
Hi, Andy. How are you? Okay.
Good, thanks. Yeah.
Right. About assistant dying, I've been listening for the last few months about people and how they're on the internet. So I'm going to give you first-hand experience.
Okay.
So my mum was quite poorly, and she was in Nobles Hospital one Sunday. We basically all got told that she was end of life, she was going to die. There was no treatment, there was nothing at all that could make her better. So I was told, where do you want her to go? Hospice, a nursing home hospital. And she said she wanted to come back to my house. So I arranged it. I got her back here. And anybody that thinks assistant dying isn't a good thing, my mum was in agony for 2 weeks. I stayed with her 24 hours a day as a main carer, knowing she was going to die. She knew she was going to die. When she was told, she was fully compos mentis. She could walk, she could write, she could use a telephone, but she wasn't afraid of death. It was the pain that she went through for them 2 weeks. At one point, she even said, "I didn't sign up for this. We should have went somewhere," meaning Switzerland, whatever. There was no outcome. She was going to die. Why, hospice at home were amazing. I can't say anything about them. They were brilliant. But they can only administer so much drugs. And when you hit the limit, they can't do any more. So you have to watch your loved one for 24 hours a day suffering. And people say it's you spent an extra 2 weeks with your mum. All I remember now is them 2 weeks. They'll never, ever go from my memories to 49 years.
When did it happen, Simon?
Half the time, 6 months ago.
And so, how have you come to terms with it?
Yeah. I knew she'd been terminal for a long time. We always knew she was going to die. That's not an issue. That wasn't that bit she wasn't afraid of. We all knew she was going to die. When she was told, I knew she was going to die. She knew she was going to die. Every consultant knew she was going to die. The nurses knew she was going to die. Hospice knew she was going to die. But we had to make her suffer for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks in agony. I had to move my child out of my house because I couldn't let her see what I was seeing. I was fortunate I could take 2 weeks off work, which I did, obviously, and spend every minute of every day with my mum. But it's not good. So people saying about it, you've got to look at two sides to every story. There are some circumstances where it's not good, but there's other circumstances, like my mother. That what if you had an animal that you knew was going to die, would you let it suffer for 2 weeks?
Okay.
Knowing it was going
to
die.
I have to ask you this, Simon. 100% absolutely sure.
She was going to die?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and she did. She died within 2 weeks.
So, and again, as you've heard, many people are saying that assisted dying isn't a good idea. I'm just asking, you're 100% convinced now that the law should be brought in?
Absolutely. Under the right circumstances. Absolutely. 100%. If you know your terminal and every single person that had dealings with my mum, including my mum, knew she was going to die.
Right.
So why did we make anyone suffer? The person that's my mum, that was me, that was my family, my brother, my sister, her sister, every one of us struggled for 2 weeks. And like I said, 49 years of happy memories, they've been wiped out for the last 2 weeks where I cared for her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Okay. Simon, I know it's taken a lot for you to call in, and I appreciate that.
Yep, no worries. But everyone needs to think two sides to every story. It's not all one-sided like people think reading off the internet. Until you experience it, then have a proper opinion. A lot of people have opinion on this that have never experienced it. And it can't be just me. There must be thousands of people on the Isle of Man that have gone through the same as me. Absolutely.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling,
okay,
Simon.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Now, it's 29 minutes past 12. Disposable barbecue should be banned, says 068. They cause too many fires. Why did we scrap work permits? Kept the Isle of Man crime-free for ages. Just wait to see what happens now, says Don. They relaxed them earlier on, didn't they? Mr. Cannon's fundamentally changed the population of the Isle of Man without public consent, says Susan on 455. Wilf should be doing Alf's job. Those ideas are common sense, says Jan. There's more, says Texter 653, more to Yolanda's story than you make out. However, she took the brave decision to end her own life. That's her right to do so in a compassionate society. Why do some people think they've got the right to stop people from deciding how to end their own life how they want? I don't know about you, whether you listened to yesterday's programme in preparation for Mental Health Awareness Week, which starts on Monday. I don't know about you, but again, when you hear of the assisted dying legislation and you then talk about suicide, I don't know about you. Maybe you can help me. I've not quite reconciled the two yet. I understand there is a difference, but maybe it's just me. Cars are getting stolen. Here we go again. It's going to be like England within 3 months, says Paul W. Not 3 months, surely. I think the steam packet's missed a trick, says Malcolm. Northwest 200 on, not a single sailing to Belfast. Thanks also to 552. Have you seen the new Charles Gard video? Welcome back to the Isle of Man. It's really interesting. Revisited the things he raised in another of his videos, says John in Farm Hill. We'll put that on the list. Welcome back to the Isle of Man by Charles Gard. I doubt that the Witch Report, this is the Consumer Society report about the steam packet, listened to all the unrest in Scotland about some of their ferry services to the island and their new ships that matter unsuitable, says Liz. The Caledonian brain problem. Well, I think they've got some ferries on order, and there was an indication that perhaps the Ben McCree would be sold to Caledonian McBrain, if we didn't know it. 502, thank you for that. People know so many things. Isn't the internet wonderful? Thanks, 502. This is an opinion programme, you know that. So, let me see. Julian seems keen to try to block people's right to choose. So, what's the issue with people choosing to end their own suffering? Nobody will be assisted to die against their will, says Jim. Okay, that's Julian's opinion, Jim, and that's your opinion. So, we get that straight. I found it inspiring to hear Juan's struggle with mental ill health on the show yesterday. He's given us a voice yesterday and a face for the struggle. I hope Juan finds the peace he deserves. Many thanks. I don't know whether you heard yesterday. We were live in Castletown, live at the George Hotel, and a room full of people in there just talking about in preparation for Mental Health Awareness Week, which starts on Monday. So yesterday we had the people from I'll Listen. They were there yesterday, but also Juan Moore. Juan is from PACT, P-A-C-T, and talked very candidly about his struggles with mental health. It was captivating. I'm not saying it was terribly comfortable, but then, you know, comfort is not part of it. This was somebody's life and death struggle that at the moment Juan is winning. But if you haven't heard yesterday's programme, then pop to the website, check it on the podcast. And there'll be more on Manx Radio next week for Mental Health Awareness Week.
Right, it's David. What I want to know is, there's a guy on about his car's being damaged on the ferry in rough weather, and he had problems with the steam packet, and he had to claim on his own insurance. Now, what I want to know is, we pay a lot of money return for a fare for ourselves and our car to be transported in good conditions. Now, the insurance of the steam packet surely must have third-party liability to any damage they do to any vehicle in transit. If not, I phoned the steam packet and I couldn't get a reply. But if not, why are we paying to have our vehicles transported at our own risk, and our insurance companies are having to stand the cost? Is that why a lot of the insurance companies for vehicles are pulling off the island? And also, another thing too, TT Week's coming soon, and when we've got TT Week, we're not talking to motorbikes of 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 pounds. We're talking of motorbikes now of 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 pounds. Now, if these guys are bringing their bikes in for the TT to watch as spectators, they won't want to think that their vehicle could be damaged in transport and they have to pay for have it repaired themselves out of their insurance. Come on. So it's about time the steam packet wised up. Either reduce the fares if we have to pay our own insurance cover for our vehicles, or otherwise, get in the real world. Does that also apply to passengers? Third-party liability? If we are injured on the ferry, will they pay us? Thank you.
Thank you, David. Good to hear from you. That was a message from the answer phone, which you can call any time outside Man in Line broadcast hours, which, of course, Monday to Friday, midday through till 1. The answer phone is 682-603. So call that number if you want to leave a message. So why do you think, and this was the guy who phoned up, left a message on the answer phone too, about the fact that he was told by the crew on board that sailing on the 16th of April to get in touch with the company. If they knew he was going to be referred to the terms and conditions, why didn't they just say that? Were they just trying to placate him, or maybe they didn't know? Roy said, Andy, I went to Peel yesterday, was quite surprised at the number of dead ash trees along a road. I wouldn't be bothered except for the fact that there's racing on the course in a few weeks. I know It's the landowners that could be held responsible for a death on the road if it's their tree or trees that's on a bike or a car or a pedestrian. I know there's been a lot of work carried out by government, but not sure how much, says Roy. Dead ash trees. Claire Barber's been on from DEFRA and said, we've got a problem. Although she did say there are some ash trees that are developing a kind of immunity to ash dieback. Name one country that's welcomed 15,000 new residents with a population of 85,000. Surely this is a social experiment and it's reckless, says 505. Well, I'll just put it the other way. What happened if 15,000 people left the Isle of Man? What would happen then? We have had problems, big problems in the past, with declining population when the Isle of Man wasn't affluent and wasn't full of jobs and opportunities. And people left the Isle of Man. Do you remember the winter work schemes? Population went down to below 45,000 at one point. And that was tough. So a problem of increasing the population, which, and behind it all, the Chief Minister has been perfectly, perfectly candid about this. It is economic prosperity and growth. I'll tell you where the MHKs are this week. Quite a few are around. But first, Stephen's with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Oh, good morning. I would like, first of all, I'd like to say that I'm a complete accord with the bill to assisted dying.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I don't think it goes far enough. But what I really want to talk about is there is a way to make your wishes known legally, and it's called making an advance decision to refuse treatment. Can I talk to a bit about that, please?
By all means, yes.
Well, it's in effect. It's this form is sent out by Compassion in Dying. It's free, and it's very easy to fill in, and you make the things you would not put up with if you were in a very advanced condition.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you the number anyway. It's
okay.
It's 0800. When have I got my glasses here? 0800 999 2434, and it's info@compassionindying.org.uk. It's free, but they would appreciate a bit of cash to help them out. Okay, that's it.
Appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
Bye now.
Good to hear from you. 284 texter says, in a normal company, a failure as significant as not having the ferry terminal ready for TT work and no berth in Liverpool available would have the chief exec packing his desk. The opinion of 284. You're right to be worried about stolen cars. Do you remember 7-8 years ago there was a spate of burglaries on the Isle of Man? Remember that? There was, wasn't there? All over a kind of month or so, all affluent houses, and the thieves were never caught. Police reckon it was an organised gang, and it's worrying, says Charles. Yes, I do remember that spate of burglaries a while back. Thanks, and let me see, who have we got here? Oh, it's David with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want to talk about the Courier on page 5. Interesting story there. It's about Retina Bay and also Summerhill Views. Now, the article goes on to say that when Retina Bay closes, clients will be then transferred to Summerhill Views. But in the article, it says, and this is from the Health Minister as well, comment there, that Summerhill Views were handed over to the Manx Care on the 5th of February. So what have they been doing since the 5th of February to get the contract or somebody to run Summerhill Views, and we can get the clients moved from Retina Bay then into Summerhill views while it's still the summer.
Wow, and that's on page 5 of the Courier, you say?
Yeah, it's a good little article there, and it's not only Manx Radio that gives good news, the newspaper can as well, and it's actually free, the Courier, all the time there.
Yes.
But the question begs to me, what are the politicians doing? What is the Minister for Health doing? And if he's handed it over to Manx Care, which says on the 5th of February, have they been sitting on their fat backsides doing nothing?
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you.
Oh, the camper van's gone, by the way. I meant to tell you that.
Has it gone permanently?
It's gone, yeah. I've been down to check a couple of times there. But
is this the one by Oncombe Park?
It's gone by the tennis courts there.
Crikey. What's happened to all the moss underneath it?
Well, I'll just tell you one thing anyway. Somebody sat their car in the middle where the camper van was, where you can't get a car either side of it now, and we can't get the sweeper driver in, and we can't get the jet washer to clean the stuff underneath. But at the moment, the moss and slime is hard because it's good summer weather. And if you want to come to Oncombe Park, it's a bargain. Okay? Other parks are available.
All right. Thanks for that.
Bye.
18 minutes before one. It's Friday. You know what that means in our 60th anniversary year. We're looking back in the archive. And after Man in Line today, we're going to have an archive interview with, here's a name you'll remember, Eunice Salmon. Do you remember Eunice Salmon? Fine journalist, Eunice was, well remembered for her regular contributions to a number of Isle of Man print publications. Following the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, she spoke to David Callister about her trip to the royal wedding in 1981. Next week, by the way, I'll just warm this up. Next week, we're talking to the Isle of Man's, you'll hear from the Isle of Man's chief constable between 1972 and 1986. Frank Whedon will be talking about policing during his tenure in 1972 to 1986. And next Friday, Sir Charles Carouche and Dr. Edgar Mann, back in 1981 at the general election, following the declaration, they made victory speeches in front of a lively crowd. So ex-Chief Constable Frank Whedon on Monday, Sir Charles Carouche and Dr. Edgar Mann next Friday, and today it's Eunice Salmon. By the way, if you've got any ideas of things you'd like to hear from the archive, maybe voices from way back when, do get in touch with Manx Radio. John Moss is organising a lot of this. If you email johnmoss@manxradio.com. I mentioned you can see your MHKs this weekend. There are four political surgeries. Tomorrow in Ramsey, meet Alex Allenson, MHK, and Laurie Hooper. They're at the coroner's office in Ramsey Town Hall, 10 to midday tomorrow, drop-in format. Also, Arbury Castle Town of Malou, Jason Morehouse and Tim Glover, MHKs, at the Abbey Church Hall in Ballasalla from 10 to 11.30. In Garth, meet Daphne Kane. She's at the Garth Commissioner's Office, New Road in Laxey, from 11 till 12.30. And also in the afternoon, Douglas Central constituency meet Anne Corlett and Chris Thomas, MHKs, at All Saints Church Hall in Alexander Drive in Douglas, by the new former church to be a gym, apparently, from 2 till 4.
Spring into summer and refresh your home with Miller Taps, where we've two abundant floors bursting with special promotions on new sofas, dining furniture and conservatory furniture. Amazing savings on clearance, stressless and dining furniture with up to 40% off. Selected half-price rugs, offers on wallpaper, and not forgetting great offers on new Parker Knoll and Urquhart models. Lighter nights and brighter days. Make the most of them with Miller Chaps Ramsey.
Have you been into H&H Motorcycles or been to hnhmotorcycles.im? There is everything you need, from clothing and accessories to service, repairs and tyres. Stocking the full range of RST, Race FX Enduro and motocross clothing, plus Oakley sunglasses and goggles and casual clothing. H&H are the island's Arai, Bell and AGV helmet, motor oils and quad lock distributor. Call in at South Quay Industrial Estate Douglas for a browse, coffee and a chat, or shop online with home delivery.
We're cooking with sunshine, cholera. We're washing with sunshine, cholera. We're heating with sunshine, cholera. The future looks good.
With solar panels, battery storage and domestic wind turbines from Era Electrical, you can slash your electricity bills and recoup your investment in as little as 7 years. Call now to find out more.
676-544.
Rachel looks good.
Avishan Rish.
A Gilg, the Manx Gaelic. Chinian Amera, the mother tongue of Alian Vanin, the Isle of Man.
Avishan Rish.
You can catch up with more of Manx Radio's Manx language programmes in the weekly podcast, Avishan Rish. Say that again.
Avishan Rish.
Shene, that's the one.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
40 minutes before one. Nice day today on the Isle of Man. If you're listening around the world or maybe to the podcast, you should be here like that French liner in the middle of Douglas Bay. Bienvenue. Bon après-midi. Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, kid. You all right?
Good, thanks.
Yep. Brilliant day, isn't it? Lovely weather.
Lovely.
Well, we won't talk about our usual subject. A different one for you. Years ago, we used to absolutely adore camping, in tent-wise and things like this. An awful lot of people did. And, of course, I don't know what department it is that decides whether or not you can camp in places or not. But 2 years ago, we decided to buy a camper because of that, really. And now so many people point out things to me, and I'm experiencing it myself, that they seem to be trying to stop you doing your camper vanning in certain places. And yesterday I noticed in the paper that a favourite place for locals as well as holidaymakers has just been blocked off with concrete blocks on Castletown Beach. Everybody used to go there. They're all up in arms about it. What department would it be? Andy,
whereabouts on Castletown Beach?
Just by Hango Hill there. There used to be a big car park.
Oh,
there,
yes. Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah, but they've put a load of concrete blocks there now, so you can't get there.
Right, that's the Derby Haven side, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the concrete blocks were there, when were they put there?
Well, I don't know, but it was in the paper. Sue was on the phone this morning, look at the headlines in the papers, and it says there's been concrete blocks there to stop campers doing the thing.
Do you think that's just because of TT?
I can't see that. The way to look at it for me, I don't, this is what everybody says the same to me. The one particular person who has mentioned it to me, was saying they used to come, they don't live in the south of the island, but they come to the south of the island, they will park up there in the camper, they'll walk into Castletown, they'll have a meal in one of the local restaurants, beer in a few of the pubs and everything, and then they'll be able to walk back home again to the camper. So if they can't camp there, then the restaurants are losing out, the pubs are losing out. So why is it happening that I mean, you can go to Peel, and you can still park your campers in loads of places there. I don't know how the rest of the island is. We go to the Point of Air a lot now. I love it out there. It's brilliant. But if we want to sell the Isle of Man, surely we shouldn't be doing these sort of things. Like, I mean, it seems petty to me to put concrete blocks there just so somebody can't park a van, a camper.
Okay. All right, Eddie. Yeah. All right, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you.
No problem.
Cheers, now. Thanks for that. Can people bring big campers to the Isle of Man? I know there's a problem with grounding. Getting on to the new boat, certainly when I've been driving on the new boat, I've seen a few vehicles get very close to scraping on that, particularly if it's a low tide at Heysham. I followed a horse box on a couple of weeks ago, and blimey, that was very close. I don't know whether big camper vans can come to the Isle of Man. Charlie's with us now. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, boy. Just been reading The Independent. Going on about applying for an extension of the silt ponds at Peel.
Yeah.
I suggested some time ago, why didn't they go to a place where it had a natural filter so everything was filtered away naturally?
Where could they go?
Well, limestone is a natural filter. And across four ways, there's a couple of old quarries there. The Cecil Hill Quarry, that's limestone again.
Yeah.
So that you put it in there, the water would drain away, wouldn't contaminate anything, and the silt could be left.
And would that take all the contaminants? Because that's the problem, isn't it? It's got heavy metals in it.
Yes. But they're going to have to dump the heavy metals on an infill, landfill site eventually, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true. So, by cross four ways, yeah. You reckon?
Well, down across four ways, on the four ways, there's an old quarry there that's flooded. But on Fisher's Hill, there's a really big quarry there. But it's all limestone around there, so it's a natural... Limestone's a natural filter for water.
Okay, and what else was on your mind?
The steam packet.
Yeah. Sorry? It was at the TT signs.
I know. Well, TT signs, yeah. Well, what are they doing with the old signs?
That's a very good point. I wonder what they are doing with them.
Because they have presentations at the Ville Marina three or four nights a week. If they put them signs up there before or after for auction, people who go to the same place every year, and they do, would bid for them signs.
That's a very good point. I wonder who's got the old signs.
Well, if some civil servant got them, they're probably in a tip by now.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling.
Another little point. Why the boat's been tied up for 3 or 4 months at the King Edward Pier,
yeah.
Couldn't they do it alternately, where the boats could have gone into Liverpool and practiced their docking while there was a slack season?
All right.
Or is that too much common sense?
There you go with your common sense again. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
And Ken's on now. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Afternoon. It's nice to hear the infrastructure minister talk about the half-tide dock, even if it's with bad news, around the Treasury minister. So does that mean the facility's been handed over to the infrastructure department?
Well, I presume so, because aren't they negotiating with the steam packet over the terms of the agreement now? And I think that's the sticking point.
Well, yes. Are the steam packet paying for half? You know, they should have started. Or is the half tide dock not ready yet, rather than the steam packet boats not being ready to go on it?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Nobody quite knows which isn't ready.
No, it just seems astonishing not to be ready for TT. In fact, some of the ferries having to go to Heysham rather than Liverpool, because don't know what's happening at the landing stage then.
We know what the situation is. It's confusing. But for people coming halfway across the world getting to Liverpool, we look a bit silly, don't we?
Well, we do, yes. Bear in mind that landing stage was sort of condemned, was it, 2 years ago, when they had to do repair work to it, which I think we might have put money to. I don't know. The landing fees.
I think we paid for it.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Good
it's
to
amazing.
Hear from you. Thanks, Ken.
Cheers.
Good to hear from you. Just an official thank you, by the way, to yesterday's contributors to the Precluder to Mental Health Awareness. Ali Vondi from I'll Stand Up to Suicide and the Arlem NFA. Chewan Moore, you heard, with his tale. Manx Pact was that organisation. Mike Nudd from the Samaritans. Lindsay Wood, Andrea Chambers and Steve Downward from I'll Listen. On Monday, the Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, MHK, is on Man in Line. Next Thursday, we're going to be live from King William's College. And a week on Wednesday, we're talking to FC Isle of Man about the future of the Ravens, the contribution that they've made. Thanks to my friend Lexi on the phones today. Great job. Have a great weekend. Don't get sunburnt.
WINT.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
In Manx social circles, there were few with greater connections than Eunice Salmon, MBE. In her life, she met many notable people, including Diana, Princess of Wales. Indeed, as she told David Collister, she was in St. Paul's Cathedral for Lady Diana's wedding with Charles, Prince of Wales.
After the wedding, everybody went to go out of the of St Paul's, and it was so friendly. The Snowdens were there, all sorts of people were there, and they were all saying, wasn't that lovely? It was like a family wedding, a very big family wedding. And I had arranged to meet Sir Nigel and Lady Cecil, and I went in their car from the from St Paul's, and we went down all that route with all the crowds. It was absolutely wonderful.
Well, then, for the princess, 16 years of constant pressure from the media, you could say. Not something that a normal person could easily cope with, and she was quite remarkable.
I think she was. I think she was absolutely wonderful. Of course, she broke down at various times when she wasn't well, but I think, by and large, and today, television's been on all the time, hasn't it?
That's right.
Everybody's saying how wonderful she was.
When did you hear the news, and did you feel the same sort of shock?
Oh, terrible shock. Terrible shock. I was in Kent, actually, this morning, staying with some friends who have a vineyard. And when I came down to have my breakfast, my hostess said, tragic news. Princess of Wales has been killed. Oh, awful. Absolutely awful. And I'm devastated. And I have that book on my table there.
This is the dresses collection.
The dresses, the collection that was sold at her son's behest.
Yeah.
And here it is, and oh, I'll treasure that. I've got a lot more books, as you can see. I did meet her once. To my knowledge, she's not been to the Isle of Man. I met her once. I went with Susan Sangster, and we had this golfing weekend, and we had a great dinner at the Palace Lido, which is now destroyed. And it was £100 a ticket, and Kevin Woodford was brilliant. He cooked dinner for all these guests, I can't remember how many guests there were, without a kitchen.
Yes.
No water, no nothing.
This was for one of Diana's charities.
One of her charities, Birthright.
Part of Ireland life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.